Well, hello, hello, and a very, very welcome to today's show. No, you are not listening to Dr. Beat. This is Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio, welcoming you to this week's Acupuncture Point. How are you doing, my dear, dear friends? I hope that you are doing exceedingly well. Thank you so much for listening in to me, little old me, Kevin Durgin, here on UK Health Radio, and for showing your love and support for my show, Acupuncture Point. Coming up in today's show, we are going to learn how you can live 5 years longer. 5 years longer, rather, according to research. And we're also going to meet a fabulous, fabulous acupuncturist called Rebecca Avern, who specialises in the treatment of children. And we're also going to play another rip-roaring round of Game of Themes. And if you would like to join in the fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to connect the dots together and to deduce the common thread that links together all of the gorgeous music that I'm going to be playing for you across
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining in and for being part of Acupuncture Point. One of the greatest, greatest things about doing this show is that I get to connect to some of the fabulous acupuncture practitioners around the world who are doing extremely important and beautiful work to help their patients. And I'm so thrilled to be joined now by Rebecca Avon, who is possibly one of my favourite acupuncturists in Great Britain, possibly the world. Rebecca is Oxford-based, and she runs two clinics, the Panda Clinic and an affordable acupuncture clinic called The Little Acupuncture Room. She is a specialist in treating children with Chinese medicine, and she is the eminent author of two tomes, two giant books, Acupuncture for Babies, Children and Teenagers, and a brand new book, Chinese Medicine for Childhood Anxiety and Depression, both of these published by Singing Dragon. Welcome to Acupuncture Point, Rebecca Avon.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you for such a lovely introduction. I'm honoured to be one of your favourite acupuncture practitioners.
So, Rebecca, you have been, how long have you been a practitioner?
Just over 20 years now.
And last year you made the decision that you wanted to focus all of your energy on treating children. Why is treating children your passion?
So that's a very interesting question. I think that in part, it just suits my personality to be treating children. But my focus on children has become greater and greater in really from the day I qualified to now. So I've just gradually done more and more and more of it. And I'm now at the point where that's all I do. And one of the great historical doctors who us acupuncturists talk about a lot, called Sun Tzu Miao, spoke at length about the fact that nurturing the young, as he called it, is the most important thing that anyone can do. Because if we look after human beings when they're little and they're young and they're growing and they're forming, then it positively influences the outcomes for the rest of their life. And that's really why I'm passionate about treating children, because I know, and I have evidence of it really on a daily basis, that helping to take away a child's symptoms, helping them to feel better in themselves, helping them to thrive, supporting their physical, mental and emotional, actually changes the course of their lives. It's not just about getting rid of a symptom and then that's it. It really sets the path for them for the future. And I just find that incredibly satisfying. I cannot imagine doing anything more satisfying. So that's really why I've chosen to put all my energy into treating children now.
A few years ago, I came along to your lovely, lovely clinic. Gosh, she's got the most beautiful clinic room. It's a beautiful wooden space in a garden. It's just like you're it's glorious. And we did an interview with one of your patients who was a young guy. His name was Rafe.
That's right, Rafe, yes.
And his mother was talking about how he was getting into so much trouble. He was a big tsunami of anger. And I just remember her talking about how he would flood through the house, bringing, you know, everybody would be so unhappy. And he had treatment with you. And the description that he gave was so beautiful. He said, well,
you know, words to this effect. Well, you know, beforehand, I like never had my mobile phone. And now over the past year, seeing Rebecca, I've like only lost my phone once or twice. And I think this just speaks volumes. And now, how is he doing now?
He's doing amazingly well. He's now a young adult and, you know, out of school and pursuing his passions. And he is a really good example. He was heading down a bad road because when kids constantly get into trouble at school, then they begin to be labelled the troubled kid and it affects their self-esteem. And then, you know, that sort of label becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and the child begins to believe that they're no good. And he is a really good example of how some acupuncture treatment can literally pull him back from one path and send him down another one.
Incredible. Incredible. And I met him and I saw that change. Now, your book, Chinese Medicine for Childhood Anxiety and Depression. How prevalent is anxiety and depression in children?
Well, you've probably seen the newspaper, the articles in the press almost every day, Kevin. Even pre-pandemic, the rates of mental health problems in young people were so high that CAMHS, which is the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, were really struggling to keep up. But now, post or midst pandemic, they have skyrocketed. And I think that it's very sad but true to say that there really is not a class in the country without one or two children who have some sort of mental emotional condition that they're struggling with. And that might be something like a bit of anxiety or erratic moods or difficulty regulating their emotions, or it might be a lot worse than that. It might be the kids who actually aren't in the classroom because they can't leave the house and they're, you know, self-harming or they're not eating or they're sort of involved in some very destructive behavior. So it's really pervasive. And I say that lightly because I think sometimes if we keep saying this is such a problem, it can almost make it a bigger problem. You know, we're sort of giving that message to young people that they're all completely kind of troubled. But my experience is in my clinic, you know, there's just an unbelievable number of children, not only teenagers, preteens, who are deeply, deeply struggling in some way with their mental emotional health.
Gosh, it's terribly sad. And if you're a parent, gosh, awful, because these are conditions that are within us, they're felt within us. And you know, sometimes a parent isn't able to lift out the child themselves, however hard they try.
I think that to have a child who's struggling mentally, emotionally is torture, really. Yeah. And it affects the whole family. You know, it dominates the life of the family. It affects the siblings and the extended family and everyone else.
Rebecca, why did you decide to write this new book, Chinese Medicine for Childhood Anxiety and Depression? Why did you choose to write it now?
So I found in my clinic that with the children and teenagers I was seeing with anxiety and depression and related conditions, that they responded so well to treatment, but B, that our Chinese medicine way of understanding people and how pathologies develop in people was so resonant with kids who are anxious and depressed. So, for example, if a 14-year-old who's anxious or depressed goes to the GP, they could be offered maybe a little bit of CBT, which can be helpful, or they'll be offered medication. There are basically two prongs of approach, of treatment. Whereas for us as acupuncturists, we have the ability to get behind the labels, because we know that if we line up 20 kids who are anxious, they'll all be experiencing something very different. Every one of those kids will have a very different internal state. And our Chinese medicine framework helps us to make a completely customized, kind of bespoke diagnosis of that particular child's state and to do something about it in a way that no other medicine that I know of can do. So that was one reason. And the second reason was I found myself repeating the same kinds of advice to children and teens and their parents over and over again. And I thought, well, actually, maybe I should write this in a book, because really it's not rocket science, and mental emotional problems don't just come out of nowhere. They develop out of the fabric of a child's life. And in Chinese medicine, we're able to look and understand the individual nature of a child's constitution and then look at their life and go, ah, well, this is why there's a problem. Because this child is, for example, we might look at what element they are and look at the circumstances of their life and see that the two just don't fit. So very often, it's not really a problem with the child. It's a problem with the life that the child is being asked to live. And Chinese medicine can begin to unpack all of that in a way that is just so incredibly helpful and effective. So that's really what my book's about. So it's not about how to give acupuncture. It's a book for parents as well as practitioners. And it's about how to understand your child's individual five-element constitution and what might be affecting their mental emotional health.
Going back to something you said earlier, about the numbers of children with anxiety and depression skyrocketing over lockdown. Is it any wonder if they've, you know, all of these children in the UK definitely were having to sit watching a Zoom screen to do all of their lessons without their friends, without that natural, you know, running around, all of those very, very natural things that children have done, you know, ever since schools started. And all of a sudden, instead of being able to have a little walk into school, to have that sense of connection, if your parents bringing you to school, all of that's gone. And it became a very artificial environment.
Very much so. And you've hit the nail on the head. It's those little things. It's being around your friends, walking to school, you know, doing a bit of movement at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Having some routine, having some variety, connecting with other people, all of those things are really the fundamental ingredients of good mental health. And suddenly, large chunks of them were just stripped away overnight. And then add on to that the stress that so many families were put under, and the fact that children are like little sponges that just soak up all that stress, plus the lack of control and the fear in the atmosphere, you know, generally kind of in the atmosphere of the whole of society that they were soaking up. And I mean, it was just asking for trouble. And I saw kids in my clinic who pre-pandemic, I would have said, were really resilient, come back after the first lockdown on the floor. And I would, with kids, I would never have predicted that would have happened.
My goodness. Let's set the horrid lockdown aside for one moment.
Yeah.
Where does anxiety and depression come from? What are its origins for children?
So I'm going to try and give you a succinct answer, knowing that that's something we could discuss all day. Every child has a different susceptibility to that. So in Chinese medicine, as you know, we talk about our inherited constitution, and that's both a physical constitution, but also an emotional, mental one as well. So every child will respond differently to the events and circumstances in their lives. But apart from constitution, I would say in my clinic, I'll keep it simple by just telling you the things I kind of see day in, day out that I think contribute most. I think that most kids these days are highly overstimulated. I think they have too little rest and downtime. So in Chinese medicine terms, their lives are very, very yang in nature, and children already have a predominance of yang. What they need is a yin lifestyle, which is a calm, slow lifestyle with routine and repetition and predictability and constancy. Many kids have too much pressure from a very early age, and that's not necessarily parents putting pressure on them. The pressure's just out there, really, from the day that they start school, and obviously it may be in the family too. And I think that there, I mean, I hardly want to mention social media because, again, we could go off on a big tangent, but I think that is a factor for many of them. And then they're either not doing enough exercise or doing too much exercise, both of which in Chinese medicine can affect our mental, emotional health as well as our physical health. There are dietary factors that contribute, and really probably overriding all of that is a lack of connection. And that may even occur in a very loving family, but we all live such busy lives that the kind of connection that a child needs day in, day out for those first years of life, you know, one-to-one time with parents, with loved ones, where no one's looking at a phone, no one's doing anything else, there is just not enough of that. And that's what helps build that kind of pillar of resilience, mental, emotional resilience inside kids. And so, I mean, that's a very brief overview, but that gives you a sort of flavour of the kind of contributing factors.
I treated a young lady, so in her mid-20s recently, and she'd suffered with anxiety and periods of depression for years since her teens. And we were talking about, you know, where some of these issues had come from, and eventually path went back to mother and their relationship, which there were issues there. And I did a couple of a set of points called ghost points. And these points help to release old stuff. And the stuff that is sort of handed down, just like genes are handed down through generations, old stuff is sort of transmitted through generations. And after doing these points, just left them in for a minute or so, very tiny, tiny treatments. She came back the next week and she told me that, well, for a start, everything had lifted. Everything had lifted. And she said that it felt as if the angst of generations had been removed from her.
That's amazing. And maybe she was the kind of child that was the one in the family that naturally sort of took on that intergenerational stuff. And that was probably largely based on her sort of specific constitutional type. And I think some kids are more prone to doing that than other kids. And I think that, you know, adults, even again before the pandemic, live such strained, stressful, busy lives. And that has a really big knock-on impact on children.
Absolutely. And, you
know, parents are parenting in a very isolated fashion, you know, whilst trying to earn money and look after their parents and all the rest of it. And there's just so much stress around, and the losers in that are the kids, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Very, very, very difficult. Okay. However, there are positives.
Yes.
How can Chinese medicine help? And how does it help?
So on a very simple level, from our Chinese medicine perspective, if a child feels anxious or if they feel low, it's because there's an imbalance in the flow of their qi, of their life force in their body. So by giving them acupuncture, which does not have to involve needles, that can involve Chinese medical massage techniques or moxibustion, which is a warm herb that we use, or just even some acupressure or little stickers that go on points, that can help to rebalance the flow of qi in the body. And when the qi is flowing smoothly, the anxiety dissipates or the mood lifts. So really, it's I like to keep it really basic and just see any emotional dysfunction as a reflection of the fact that the child's qi is just not quite working as it should. You know, we don't need to, as acupuncturists, go into what's going on and get the child to talk. And most children don't have the self-awareness to be able to do that. And even for teenagers, they don't have the self-awareness, or they just don't have the words, or that feels too threatening. And that's what's so wonderful. We can take their pulse, we can look at their tongue, we can look at their eyes and their complexion, and do the treatment we need to do, and they can walk out feeling better. So it's really about rebalancing their entire mind-body system.
This is one of the absolute treasures of Chinese medicine, that we don't need to talk. If we look at somebody, you can see if they're looking unhappy. You don't need to ask them, how are you feeling? They look miserable. They've got tears in their eyes. We know.
Exactly. And, you know, the teenage boy you mentioned earlier, I remember when I first treated him, I think he was probably about 14 at the time. There was no way he could tell me what he was really feeling or anything really about his internal world. But it was very obvious to me from looking at him and sensing him and taking his pulse and looking at his tongue what I needed to do. And I think that we have, you know, our medicine is wonderful in that way. Most kids don't respond well to kind of very direct questioning and talking, and we don't have to do that, and that's just wonderful.
Isn't it? And one of the, I've actually learned this from you, Rebecca, I've learned this from you, that when you are treating children, because their energy is so strong and it's moving so quickly, you don't need to do that much.
No.
One point. That's it. One point.
you just need to just give it a little nudge in the right direction. I see it as like a potter putting their hands around their wheel and just helping it to come out in the right shape, as it were. It's wonderful that energy responds so quickly. And it's really important to me as a practitioner that children enjoy their treatments.
Yes.
And they do, because otherwise, if they didn't want to come back, they'd be, you know, battling with the parent would give up, then they wouldn't get the help they need.
And what's the point? There's no point. If somebody's hating something, if somebody's howling and screaming, how much good is that going to be doing to their health?
It's not. It's just going to be adding to the stress. Mm. So it's, you know, I think there's a block in many people's minds. They think acupuncture, children, the two don't go together, whereas actually the two really do go together. And, you know, pediatrics has been a specialism of Chinese medicine for thousands of years.
I have seen you, Rebecca, needling a baby, and the baby just sort of giggled a little bit. You said the sweetest things, bibbity bobbity boo. And you tap this tiny little point in, the baby just giggled. I even think it might have filled its nappy a little bit.
That's right.
It was just so relaxed and happy. Really, really lovely. Now, you, in addition to the Panda Clinic, you've just set up the little acupuncture room, which is an affordable acupuncture clinic. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so this has been a dream of mine for many years, and I finally managed to make it happen. So this is a clinic where families can pay whatever they can afford to pay. So it's my dream that children from a much more diverse, you know, from diverse areas of society can all access treatment. And I work with a wonderful team of other pediatric acupuncturists there. So we work together. There's always at least two of us there. And we treat more than one child in the same room. And there's a really lovely energy about it. So my key goals were that it would be affordable treatment and that I would have a team to work with, and also that we would monitor our outcomes. So we're using something called AccuTrack, which is a system where patients and their parents self-report their improvements in the hope that we can then get some data so we can go to child psychologists and GPs and CAMs and say, look, guys, you can't deny our data. We really can help. So I'm really excited about in a few months being able to begin to build up some really good data that we can then take out there and get more people to know how we can help children and their mental emotional health.
This is wonderful. Gosh, I can just imagine the energy in that room. And if you think about all of the positive changes that you're making to so many lives, and so many lives that are going to be improved in the longer term because of this tiny, gentle intervention, but done at the right time and with the right spirit. How wonderful.
It's such a simple, gentle thing. It's not a big thing, but the potential benefits are enormous. So, and I really hope that in time this will just get the word out more about the power of acupuncture and its related techniques for children.
Rebecca, where can people find out more about you and your clinics?
So I'm going to give you two web addresses. So my website, and which is also the Panda Clinic website, is rebeccaavan.com. And the affordable community acupuncture clinic for children is thelittleacupunctureroom.com.
Rebecca Avon, author of Chinese Medicine for Childhood Anxiety and Depression, out now, published by Singing Dragon. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so wonderful.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really enjoyed it.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, hello, hello, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to our station, and in particular, a very warm thanks for listening to Acupuncture Point. Now, you know, in this day and age, everybody loves their stats. You can't move anywhere without being told, well, statistics say this, and because statistics say this, it must be right. And this brings me to my next item on the show, which basically demonstrates how you can add on an extra 5 years to your life. And this study was calculated and carried out by clever researchers from the University of Toronto. So basically, if you want to live an extra 5 years, you need to win an Oscar, because apparently Oscar winners live 5 years more than unnominated co-stars, who will only live to 76. So says this marvellous bit of research. Isn't it ridiculous what we're able to create out of data? So according to these very, very clever researchers, they created a model based on an analysis of over 2,000 actors who were nominated for an Oscar between 1929 and 2020. No, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is a real, real study. And apparently their model suggests that winning actors alive today are expected to live until the age of 81.3. However, unsuccessful nominees are expected to live a full 5 years less. So according to stats, and remember, we all live our lives through stats, Academy Award-winning actors and actresses show a positive association between success and survival, suggesting the importance of behavioural, psychological, or other modifiable health factors unrelated to poverty. Absolutely ridiculous, don't you agree? Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I hope that you would enjoy that. And yes, please stay tuned, because after this, we are going to learn what today's rather cryptic game of themes is. So stay tuned and hold on to your hats.
Man, I love
So, my dears, how did you do? Were you able to crack this week's Game of Themes? Well, of course. Of course, in honour of her recent 80th birthday, this week's Game of Themes is Barbra Streisand. How so, I hear you howl. How so? Well, we started with What's Up, Doc, to beat from her wonderful film What's Up, Doc. We had The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, sung by the Prince of Tides. I know. And how about this? Donna Summer and Babs Streisand herself singing Enough is Enough. And on that note, thank you so much for listening to me, Kevin Durgin. Please do stay tuned, because coming up next, we have Chi Time with the rather formidable Clara Apollo. Until next week, that is, if you forgive me, those dreadful puns, lots of love and goodbye.